Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, oh, Dirty the Blonde Bomber and Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill. We'll talk about money bags a little bit later. He had a good night. T-Mill have the latest, and one, the latest is 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. Before we get into the Texans injury report, want to let you know we are here till 6 o'clock. The drive is on the road. We are here at Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Park Plaza, and right off Tomball Parkway. Here till 6 o'clock. Come on out. We still have prizes to hook people up with. We got 8 tickets to hook people up with. For the U of H Texas A&M exhibition basketball game at the Fatita Center, and then we have a pair of tickets and wristbands for tailgating presented by Bud Light to the Lions Texans game coming up in a couple of weeks here at NRG. So you do not want to miss out on that. If you're on the way or you're in the building, if you have not done so, all you got to do is sign your name, put it in a raffle, and you'll give yourself a chance to win tickets coming up in the final hour. All right, Clint, the Texans injury report is out, and let's just go to the ones that really stick out in terms of not practicing today. Azeez Alshire, Clint, has the knee issue, did not play last week, Clint, and has not practiced at all this week. Did not practice today, just like yesterday. And then also not practicing today is D'Angelo Ross. He shows up with an illness, so hopefully that's not anything serious. But as the backup cornerback there, one of the corners there that they'll use potentially, he did not practice. Also, concussion. Yesterday, Henry Toa was limited. Today, he did not practice. So that is one to watch there. I'd say not a great sign there with a concussion that he was limited in some fashion yesterday, but then they set him down today. And then some good news there, Robert Woods. He was he hadn't practiced for a couple of weeks. He got back on the field in a limited role. He practiced. Also, Jimmy Ward has already been reported. Not likely that he's going to be able to go on Sunday. He did not practice for the second straight day. But to me, Clint, it's back to where we were last week with your interior linebackers potentially not being able to go, and the one with Henry Toa Toa is the one to really look at. Not as much surprise with Azeez, but clearly there may have been a setback of some sorts, Clint, with Henry Toa Toa and the concussion.
Yeah, typically with the concussion protocol, there's a box that you have to check of football activities, and I would imagine yesterday being limited at practice, that was an attempt to get the football activities box checked, and it probably didn't go well considering he didn't practice today, and so it's a setback, man. I mean, you're talking about potentially facing one of the better downhill run attacks in football. I don't know where they rank in rushing, but when you get Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson with this offensive line, particularly interior offensive line, they could pose as big a problem as maybe anybody not named the Baltimore Ravens right now. Missing your starting your top three linebackers once again. That's a conversation we had last week. Missing those guys. Appearing to be in a spot where you're going to potentially miss all three of those guys again is definitely a blow, no doubt. Now, with that said, we had Neville Hewitt on the show a little bit earlier. Yeah. 225-ish.
Yeah.
If you listen on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, download that Odyssey app. There's a rewind feature. You can go back and listen to that. He was really good. But Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen both were really, really good last week. I don't want to push the envelope. Spank in the building. I don't want to push the envelope too much with those guys. But when it's all said and done, there's a confidence level that I didn't think I'd have there with Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen. So another good job of D'Amico Ryans prepping and developing the depth on his defense.
But you just talked about it, Clint. As you said, there goes Spank in the building. Clap it up for Spank. Spank and his lady. Yeah, Spank and his lady. There it is. There he is.
Spank
it
real hard.
But okay.
Sorry. All right. It got away from me.
Yeah, it did. But, Clint, you just spoke of it. This is outside maybe of Baltimore. They have the capability to be one of the best downhill running teams with a quarterback and power back in the league. And yes, you felt good about them last week, but what's your confidence level? How are you feeling, more or less, if they got to face Anthony Richardson like that? Is this something that is, like, with those two guys, Jake Hansen and Neville Hewitt, as you say, you don't want to push it too much. This is where I wonder, are they trying to fast-track a Devin White to get into this, to be able to play on Sunday with this particular matchup?
Look, it would be nice to have Devin White at least in a spot where he can provide some depth with these two guys, and then they'll have to play 100% of the snaps, right?
And that's another part. Yeah, they didn't come off the field.
Yeah, but Green Bay is a really good run attack as well. They were second in the league, I think, behind Baltimore, right there in the same vein with San Francisco and Detroit. And so, I mean, Green Bay, when it comes to the physicality and the commitment and having a good guy toting the rock, Green Bay is that. But to your point, the two-headed monster of running downhill, there's a little different read and react when there's a quarterback run involved, whether it's the read game or it's a quarterback plus one run. It's a different read and react than your normal run game. So, sure, there's a thought there of like, hey, let's see Jake Hansen and Neville, you would handle that new age run attack, which is not new for high school or college, but it's obviously new at the NFL level. Let's see if they can defend that as well as they did your pro style, even one back runs that Green Bay specializes in. So we'll see. But right now, I'm not going to let it become a problem before it becomes a problem. I like what I saw last week, and I feel good about those guys if they end up having to play.
Yeah, different type of matchup, different type of game from Green Bay. Even though Josh Jacobs runs it well, that element and the threat of that quarterback and a real element of threat of that. And not just those guys, it's the whole front seven that, your ends have to be ready to go. Everybody has to play a part of that. And he got loose a couple of times in the first game, so that'll be one to watch.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, Thursday night football tonight. I'm sure we will hear potentially the action on this game.
Got a heater.
And Tyler's best bets coming up a little bit later on in the hour. But the Vikings do come out as a 2.5-point favorite. They just lost their first game to the Lions at home, a tight game where they lost by a field goal late there. They go in and face the Rams. The Rams, Cooper Kupp doesn't have an injury designation. And then Puka Nacua looks like he'll be back as well for this game. Kind of a big game. The Vikings have been fought to be in the conversation of the elite teams this year. And when they played Detroit, a team that many people think are elite as well, they played them very, very tight, right? And this has been a really, really good football team. I think, Clint, if they don't take care of business tonight, if they end up losing to a Rams team that has Matthew Stafford and starting to get some weapons back, Clint, I think the thought of Minnesota might change amongst people and putting them in that space of where the Lions are or where the Ravens and the Chiefs are.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, people are looking for a reason. Looking for a reason to jump off the Minnesota Vikings train here. And Sam Darnold scares a lot of folks. And so I don't doubt that a loss here, although it is Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Sean McVay and one of the more successful teams in the NFL, I don't doubt that will be blown out of proportion and people will jump off the 5-2 Vikings train, even though they've beaten some good teams. And
they feel real, though. And obviously, yes, when they played the Texans, we got to see them up close and personal. Up close. Like, I don't feel like they're a they're a fluky team. Like they,
no,
they,
I don't either. I
yeah,
don't
offensively
either.
And defensively.
Tyler, before you max out your bet, can I get something on Minnesota? By the way, I love Minnesota tonight.
I'm currently tapped out right now, man.
Again?
He's doing it on purpose.
No, this is. I mean, this, I place
selfish,
all
man.
My
you
bets
were,
in the
that's
morning.
Selfish. That's selfish.
Last Thursday, man, you were big. Well, you had a big one. You had the
I like the Pelicans. I like the Pelicans last night. -5.5, and that was a comfortable win. He cost me $100 because he's selfish.
Had that in a parlay.
And he had it in a parlay.
Selfish, man.
Hey,
he's maxing these suckers out, man. This is getting worse than baseball.
We talked about this, man. You that maroon money you got and all this and that, and you got a bookie.
He's got a limit.
What do he do? Put you? Yeah, I know. I mean, you ought to be able to all that money you talk about and all the betting you do. Hell, if I was him, I'd take the limit completely off you. I'd let you dig as deep as you want to.
The limit is pretty large, to be honest. But where the tricky part is right now is I have a decent amount of futures tied up with money. So like I have a good handful of NFL. Futures on how this season's going to go, and there's a lot of money pending right there.
Well, call and say, hey man, give me my futures bet. I want to keep them, but give me that back in my. Let me play with my money.
How about this? I'll just start hitting you up when I'm placing my bets each morning, and you can let me know if you want to ride.
Nope, I wait for best bets. I wait for the moment, man.
You hear this guy?
I'm not just sitting here. I'm not just sitting here theater of the mind. I'm dead ass serious.
I will say the limit's rather large. You hear this guy?
If it were that large and you had that kind of pull, you'd call your guy and say, "Man, take the limit off of me."
But don't you have a backup bookie? Don't you have a guy that you can reach out to?
They quit.
Damn. All right, I'll see what I can do for you.
My man right here said, hey, listen, if you knew how much I'm putting down every time, the limit.
I know how much. You put it on Twitter. What you talking about?
Scared money don't make money, right?
We all know how much.
I don't think he puts it all on Twitter.
Shoot, wait till we get that screenshot with that green on it. We know exactly what it is.
I don't think he's putting it all on Twitter.
It wouldn't be best bets if I put it all out there. I got to pick the best ones.
He sits there. I feel like he's got action on like 10 things a night.
I have 12 bets tonight, but I'll have 6 for you on best bets at 5:40.
You got 12 bets.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the futures you were talking about.
No.
I like money.
I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm pretty sure that making 12 bets in one evening is not the path to winning.
I had 14 last night, and I won over $300. So, wrong.
That man, I'll never forget we had Spolane, who was another degenerate. He was home with us. He said, he's counting up in his head real quick. Man, you probably... You're getting like $1,200 to $1,500 a night out here on this thing. I'm like these nuts is crazy. All right, but no, should be an entertaining game. Sometimes we don't get good ones on Thursday night football, and of course Al Michaels, that snake, deserves it. But this should be a really good one. Why don't you just ride off and retire? Let somebody else.
Your disdain for Al Michaels cracks me up.
He's a selfish guy.
5 o'clock fire.
It's basically Jay Leno to Conan O'Brien. It's just a real sick, sick sucker. And I'm not even a huge Mike Tirico fan, but that Italian gentleman deserved to have his time. Remember, Mike Tirico said, I'm not black, I'm Italian. All right. I hate this, man. Clint is by the week, he gets more right by the week with the Dallas Cowboys situation. As Clint said, he thinks they're just going to implode this year. And Jerry Jones, he came back to the guys he threatened to fire earlier this week.
And then repeatedly
put his foot in his own mouth about saying things like, oh, we didn't go after Derrick Henry because he doesn't fit our offense.
Don't tell me what I'm saying.
Makes absolutely no damn sense.
I'm saying what I'm saying.
Because if Ezekiel Elliott fits the damn offense, then Derrick Henry fits the damn offense.
What's
but
your
then
point?
He then went on to take out his head coach, who he says he won't fire. He said in his conversation, Clint, we're designing bad plays or we're designing bad concepts is what he had to say. So, of course, Mike McCarthy, when he goes to speak to the media, he had to respond. Mike McCarthy said, don't really have one to that. To his response to that. I talk to Jerry all the time. We've had time to go through and self-scout, so I can't really – I didn't see the comments specifically. But I don't think we have bad concepts or bad plays, but I'll go back and check. You know, we're not – We're not where we want to be. That's clear, and ultimately that's my responsibility, and I'm fully aware of that.
Don't tell me what I'm saying.
It's wrong with Jerry, man.
I'm saying what I'm saying. What
is telling you, man, the wheels are coming off. It's happening earlier than I thought it would happen. Actually, it's coming off. The wheels are coming.
I think we got bad concepts.
The act is funny, and people will tolerate it. And when you're having good regular seasons and winning 10 ball games, but when the wheels are coming off. And you're threatening to fire radio guys, which I guess means he'll take his contract and give it to another radio station or something, which I would imagine there's some legalities there. You can't just do that. You got to wait till the contract's up or buy your way out.
Or just refuse to go on.
You know, and then he's throwing his coach under the bus, and you got players that are making excuses about or making comments about how, you know, every day at practice there's people that are touring the facility and it's a distraction and all this and that. I mean, all of that stuff that adds value to that franchise that is a distraction is tolerable when you're winning 10 games in 10, 12 games in a regular season. But when you're not, boy, the act is old quick, man.
They obviously have struggles. They are just 3-3. And like, they're one back in the division, Clint. They are 3-3, and it is – there is nothing that Jerry is doing during this entire bye week to make this better. Like, there's nothing that he is adding to make it better. What, like, when he said that, man, I'm going on his radio show. Yeah, man, I think we got bad concepts and bad plays. Where the hell do you think that's landing? Like, where do you think that's landing, man? My man, Jerry boy, he just don't give a rip. And then and I wish I could have been there to hear Mike McCarthy just try to roll through that response. Yeah, I talk to Jerry all the time. Like, you think when they meet again, like, hey, man, what the hell was that about, Jerry? Or they just go ahead and act like nothing happened?
You know, I don't know. I don't know the relation. I don't know Mike at all.
Did he do that with Parcells? Was Jerry doing that?
He wasn't, like, it was when I was there briefly with Parcells, and Parcells, it made it very obvious, and the media latched onto it pretty quick, like up front, like this wasn't going to be the old Jerry's Cowboys, like Jerry's way of doing things. He was very vocal about that, even to the team. And so I would imagine that he was vocal to Jerry about it as well, yes.
I wonder, I wish he would have done that with Bill Parcells. I'd like to see the response.
I mean, Parcells would specifically talk about it in meetings. I mean, in like team meetings, he would threaten us with it because I was one of them. If you're one of, you know, Jerry's guys, Jerry's kind, one of the guys.
Oh, Jerry's, Jerry's guys.
Oh yeah,
he
man.
Could stand Jerry's
party
guys.
Party guys, thugs, you know, that kind of deal. Yeah, I'm a weed you out. You're gonna be up out of here. And he included in the party guys and thugs, the Jerry guys and the Jerry's, you know, that Jerry's kept around here. Like, he would openly say it in team meetings. So, I mean, clearly, yeah, he was – I mean, I would imagine Jerry knew what was being said. If he didn't know it beforehand, he would – definitely his mole told him afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember you told me his mole was. Shout out to Will Anderson for the same last name. But coming up, it's starting – conversation is starting to be had about C.J. Stroud on a national level on – concern of him or not to be concerned. We'll let you hear what people are saying. A former quarterback and somebody who is covering the sport every single day, we'll let you hear what they've got to say about C.J. Stroud and his latest performances.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations. We had two more winners who will be attending that U of H Texas A&M game at the Fatita Center coming up.
I like that.
I did. Yeah, I slipped that in.
Fatita Center.
The Fatita Center coming up.
Be careful with them T's, man.
Them T's will get you, man. I'm telling you, I've had a rough week.
It is a Texans T.
At the Fatita Center coming up October 27th. We've hooked up three winners for that game coming up October 27th. And it's a great event. All proceeds will benefit those affected by Hurricane Beryl. And you can go, if you did not win those tickets and you're interested in going, you can call 713-GO-COUGS or visit uhcougars.com.
No Cougs? Tickets
are there for you to be able to get now. So go ahead and make that call if you want to get in there. Should be a good game. Two pretty good programs right now. All right, Clint. I thought it was really interesting to hear. Now we're starting to hear especially after the game. And you pop up, Clint. You go 10 for 21 and throw it for 86 yards. No touchdowns in a game. In a game in which you lose, and you are C.J. Stroud, and everything you have shown us in the time frame that he has been here, that is going to be something that is discussed at a national level or any level that jumps out, because that's just a game we hadn't seen. And I think two folks, Mina Kimes, ESPN, and also Alex Smith, former quarterback, also works for ESPN, they spoke about where they are about what they saw and what's happening here to C.J. Stroud. And it's interesting, both of them kind of are saying different things, or at least come up with a different outcome of if they're concerned or not. But definitely what they're saying makes a lot of sense. Here first is Mina Kimes talking about that she's a bit worried about C.J. Stroud and the Texans.
Here is my fear with C.J. Stroud. He is beginning to be the new Justin Herbert for me, where every week on tape, I'm like, this dude is putting out some of the best throws I've seen of any quarterback, and yet everything around him is crumbling. He's constantly in third and long. They're constantly running the ball with no success on early downs. I am starting to really worry because we're about halfway into the season. This should be a Super Bowl team, but Alex, it feels like the infrastructure around him is not good enough right now.
All right, that's Mina Kimes. She said what her concern is, that it's, you know, he becomes the next Justin Herbert. And what's going to happen with Justin Herbert, Clint, is he's got all the talent in the world, but just for some reason, and a lot of people do think it is because of what is around him, he's not meeting what people expect of him. Here is Alex Smith, former quarterback, coming on behind Mina Kimes about his concerns, or if he has any, with C.J. Stroud.
I'm so torn on this because I am an enormous C.J. Stroud fan. I have two sons that both want to play football, and my oldest wants to play quarterback. And I've thought about this. Like, if I were to pick one quarterback that you could, like, watch and be like, this is what it looks like. This is what playing quarterback looks like. I think I would pick C.J. Stroud. When you talk about, like, classically, beautifully playing quarterback, like, yeah. It is so fundamental. He makes it look so easy. He is so dialed in. He is so sound. It's so crazy to say about a second-year player. Like, yeah. It's absurd. I even think in some ways he's more fundamental than Joe Burrow. He's had, you know, two rough games, maybe two of his roughest games of his career this season. Both of them, I think, are two of the best teams in football. Though they played against. He went on the road to Minnesota and he went on the road to Green Bay. Watching that film, though, there wasn't anything he missed out there. There wasn't a lot of opportunities. This O-line struggled. They got pick stunted 5 different times up front. I think they're going to be fine.
All right, we see what the potential concern would be for Mina Kimes, and I think she brings up some fair points. And then we hear what Alex Smith had to say there. Clint, where are you at there when you hear that conversation talking about C.J. Stroud coming off of some of these games, especially the ones against the Vikings and last week against the Packers?
Well, look, I want to tip my cap to both of them because clearly they're watching the film and they're not looking at the 5-2 record, which a lot of folks seem to be to be interested in. I mean, there's plenty to be concerned about. I understand Alex Smith is not worried about C.J. Stroud. I'm not worried about C.J. Stroud. I think C.J.'s doing the best he can in a very, very tough situation for the most part this season. And truth of the matter is whether you're talking about C.J. Stroud or you're talking about Justin Herbert, overcoming these types of issues is not playoff caliber, Super Bowl caliber football. It's just not. I don't care how good you are. And so it's a rough spot to be in, man. So I agree with the comments of both of them. I think in the point they're making, Alex Smith is not worried about C.J. Stroud. Watched the film and said, hey, he didn't miss much. He had an awful game, but it's not like he was just missing throws all over the place. There wasn't much there. And then Mina Kimes just appears to be really worried about the support structure around C.J. Stroud, as am I. I mean, when the offensive line and the pass protection around the guy plays the way that they played last week, the way they played against Minnesota, when minus Nico Collins, your $22 million wide receiver, and Stephon Diggs is a non-factor, your $12 million tight end in Dalton Schultz is a non-factor, Tank Dell is a non-factor. There's plenty of reason to be concerned about what's going on around C.J. Stroud at this point. Absolutely. I agree with both of them, and I think they're one speaking about the quarterback and is he going to be okay. The other one's thinking about the supporting cast and are they a Super Bowl caliber team. But I agree with both folks talking about the Texans here.
Yeah, listen, Clint, we've talked about it. We know that teams are going to try to do and replicate what those teams did to the Texans, and in particular to C.J. Stroud. One, I mean, we see the production goes down, and there was frustration that we have not seen from him in his career here with the Texans. There was frustration that we saw in that game, and people are going to continue to do that. And listen, I'm not going to say that anybody that there are a lot of quarterbacks that would handle that type of pressure, but clearly, by whatever metric you want to look at, and as again, not saying that it is all his fault, but it clearly affected him, and it clearly, you know, didn't. However you look at it, didn't show him being what many people thought could be a top five quarterback in the league, right? Like if whatever happens, he's affected. He is not going to be viewed as a top five quarterback if he starts having performances the way that he has had. Especially against the Vikings,
he's not going to be viewed as a top five quarterback if what's around him doesn't get better.
Yeah, I think that's where what like Mina's saying the worrying concern, right? Like, I don't think people are looking at Justin Herbert in that vein right now, and I think it's what she's saying is a lot of it is what's around him. So, yeah, I that's the concern to me is does the pressure and what teams are trying to do to them continue to show his game looking the way that it did against the Vikings and the Packers. And hopefully they get that thing cleaned up. And I would imagine that they would get that thing cleaned up. But that's just the reality of it right now. You throw for 86 yards passing. That's not going to put C.J. Stroud in the space that people thought that C.J. Stroud would be in.
Ron, we talked about this. I'd say I don't have it written down, but I'd say 2 weeks ago is you keep performing the way that win, lose or draw, and at 5-2, you keep performing with not being able to protect the quarterback, not being able to run the football at times without Joe Mixon, and just overall playing. Well below the bar of the bar of expectations that are set for you. Eventually, people other than just us that cover the team every single day and watch every snap are going to start noticing. When the national media starts turning on to, I'm worried about a quarterback of a 5-2 football team. They've been doing some digging, and there's some reason to be concerned. You know what I mean?
Yep. Whether whoever it is, like that, that performance, those numbers. Have to move. All right, coming up, Tyler's best bets. That's coming up as we conclude things here. By the way, we're about to hook somebody up with Texans Lions tickets. So if you're in the building, you might want to sign your name and put that in our raffle box. That's coming up as soon as we get done with this segment. And in the world of the Texans, who saw this coming? I sure as hell didn't. I'm sure many of you did, but I sure didn't. We'll discuss that. Coming up next right here live on the Drive.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You're so H-Town.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we are here, Buffalo Wild Wings, we've had a great time here. The last couple of weeks we were here. Last week we had a great time here again. As a shout out to our big winner, Gabe. Shout out to Gabe. Give it up to Gabe.
Attaboy, Gabe.
Hey, Gabe's excitement, man. That done something for me. I'd like to see that. I mean, the look in his eye. He had six twinkles in his eye. Said Gabe's going two weeks in a row. He said his wife got him anniversary tickets to the game. Coming up against the Colts, and he's got some Lions and Texans tickets as well as some VIP wristbands as well, courtesy of our great people at Bud Light. So congratulations with that. Shout out to everybody who has helped us stay afloat, stay on the air today. Our promo team who always does such a great job as well. Aaron, our engineer, who's helped us. All right. Aaron, our engineer, who's helped us stay on the air as well and helped us with YouTube and Twitch. Tyler back at the station holding it down as well. And everybody here at Buffalo Wild Wings. The staff is fantastic. The bartenders, what a pour that is over there on that board. That beer, that's a great pour. That's not her first time. But they have been fantastic here as well. And the great people at Bud Light as well. It's been a good time, always is. As I said, we'll be here till 6 o'clock. TV's everywhere if you want to take in Thursday night football or some NBA. That can happen right here as well. All right. Clint, before we get to T-Mill's best bets, as I said, did you see this coming? And those of you listening, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, did you see the impact of Joe Mixon being this impactful coming? Did you see that? Because he's not just playing ball well. Like, it's not like he's just productive. But Clint, it clearly he changes the entire offense. Damn near said team, but he clearly changes the entire offense. It looks completely different when he is on the field and when he's not. And through seven games, he's missed, three of them or four of them, three and a half of them. And then the other ones, it's just there has been such a struggle in the run game and with the offense as a whole. I did not see that coming, Clint, that his impact would be so important.
Yeah, look, I felt good about his ability to impact the team, and I felt better than most about just his ability in general and what he brings to the table. So I don't think what we've seen to date for me has really surprised me. Now, as you talk of value and impact, like, I never thought that C.J. Stroud and this offensive line would struggle the way that we've seen them struggle to date. And so I didn't expect there to be so many opportunities for a running back that can go get you 100 yards on any given Sunday to be that big of – like, he won the game last week for him. Like, you made the point, I don't even know if we're on air or not, but if Joe Mixon doesn't play last week, what we've seen from this run game, it's awful. You can't even run the football, much less protect the quarterback.
Yeah, he almost
and you get beat by double
himself,
digits. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't see this level of impact of him – being the lone bright spot in a couple of games because we can't protect the quarterback. I didn't see that coming.
And the part that we see, Clint, it is clear that we've seen the same, you know, the same skill players, offensive line, quarterback, and all that.
Right.
And when he is out, like, the backs don't, the run game doesn't even look the same. And then when he's there, because, you know, it's just not like a, hey, this offensive line is crushing it. You know, nobody, like, in San Francisco, Christian McCaffrey is hurt, but Mason, I think, is the second or third leading, or at least going into last week, was the second leading rusher in the NFL.
Ronnie, in yards per game, he's fourth in the NFL.
And that, that just, like I said, going into last week, he was second or third, and then when he had gotten injured, their other running back, he ran for 99 yards against the Seahawks the week before that. Like, that team is just, obviously, their system and their scheme and their guys up front seem to give, you know, any running back a chance. That's not what we're seeing with Joe Mixon. I mean, granted, we haven't seen Joe Mixon or Damian Pierce in a spot where there's no Joe Mixon. But, you know, when Cam Akers was here, it didn't look anything like that. When Dare Ogunbowale was here, it didn't look anything like that.
Obliago.
It is clear he is a separator. He changed, and I just didn't see that. I didn't see that being the case. I did not see that. As you said earlier, Joe Healthy is one of the top three running backs in the league this year. By the way, all of them are what, free agents? Isn't it the Saquon?
Derrick Henry's number 1 yards per game at a $125. Saquon Barkley's number 2 at a $110. Joe Mixon is number 3 at just over 100 yards. Jordan Mason is number 4 at 95 yards, which is Christian McCaffrey's backup or our replacement. Jonathan Taylor with the Indianapolis Colts, who you played this week, is number 5 at 87, a little over 87 yards a game. And then Kareem Hunt, who was on nobody's team not too long ago, is sitting at 83 yards a game, Ron.
Wow,
so,
is he really?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Hey, how about this? You look at total yards in the running back game, Derrick Henry's number 1, Jordan Mason in San Francisco's number 2. Back up, that's how good that offensive system is, that offensive line is.
Yeah.
He's got Jordan Mason has more rush yards than Saquon Barkley.
That, you know, as you see, that's clearly not the case here with the Texans.
No, you're right, you know, about that. Like, So to your point, it's the, like the impact only, of Joe Mixon is tenfold.
It's like the only person that the offensive line can block for is Joe Mixon.
or is Joe Mixon the only running back that can make something out of nothing more times than not?
Whatever it is, yeah. Crazy there. All right, coming up behind us as we continue, the Hall of Famer John McClain will join the fellas on Texans All Access. They'll go to 7 o'clock, and then after that, Thursday Night Football, a pretty good matchup, the Minnesota Vikings and the L.A. Rams coming up after Texans All Access. And with that I'm guessing, Clint, will take us right to T-Mill's best bets. I would imagine that a lot of Thursday Night Football will be a part of best bets. And had a big night last night. I'm going to guess he's well over 50% so far this week.
Oh, yeah. I'm now sitting at an 80% success rate if you're following the best bets.
Seen a couple of people on the text line say you made him some money last night.
Yeah. Shout out to the 713. I don't know who you are, fella, but appreciate you listening. At 2 o'clock when we got rolling here, he said, shout out T-Mill and his best bets. Ended up green last night. LFG, I'm with you, bud. I'm with you. Love that money.
Yeah.
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 You want mine for tonight right now?
Yeah, I want them right now, yeah.
All right, I got 6 more for you. Went 5 for 6 last night. I'm 8 for 10 on best bets for the week. The 6 bets I got for you on Thursday Night Football, I'll list them off real quick. Get those pens and pencils ready. Vikings, I teased that line down a bit to -1.5. I still love the odds. Vikings -1.5. Lock that in. Vikings over 3.5 points, so more than a field goal in the first quarter. I'm also on 4 player props I'm going to give you real quick. Cooper Kupp, if you haven't heard, he is returning for the Rams tonight in action on Thursday Night Football. I am on his under receiving yards at 67.5.
Like that, because Puka's returning too.
Indeed.
That's a good thought.
Sorry, Coop. Darnold. Sam Darnold, I am over 21.5, 21 and a half completions for old Sam Darnold. Don't think he's going to see any ghosts tonight. And then I got two separate props on the great Justin Jefferson. I'm on Justin Jefferson, the Minnesota wideout, over 6.5 receptions, and I'm on over his yards, his receiving yards, which is, my eyes are bad, 83.5 for Justin Jefferson. So those are my six bets for you. Let's keep this train rolling.
See, man, this is the kind of stuff that gets me, man.
What's that?
Like right there, like that Justin Jefferson 6.5 catches, it makes me feel like when I used to see, you know, hey, Hunter Brown 4.5 strikeouts.
Like, he might have it by halftime, Ron.
Are you serious? Like, I mean, I mean 6.5. I mean, it feels like Sam. I mean, it feels like he might have six plays to him in that first 15 play script.
Yeah, that's how I felt about. What's my man's name? Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, that
man.
Burned you, didn't it?
I thought I needed 6.5. I thought I was going to get 6.5. My man had 5 in the first half and then got 1 in the second.
Bite a kneecap off?
Yeah, I hear you. I wish you'd just thrown him a pass and he'd just bite his kneecap, Dan. But, yeah, no, let's see. I'm going to tell you, man, I think you wasted your money. teasing down the Vikings line. I think the Vikings win this game by double digits.
Really? Mm-hmm. You like the Vikes? Sean McVay? Yeah.
I know there's a lot of Matt talk Stafford. Around here of one score games, but I think this.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's of the six, that's one you like the most?
Yeah, keep it simple, baby. Vikings, -1.5. I like that the most, yes.
Yeah, I'm tripping and stumbling to get to the Justin Jefferson catches. I don't know about the yards, but I feel like he's going to get every bit of 10, 11 targets tonight,
Let's
if not
go.
More.
Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You like the Vikings that hard? I don't know. He's got weapons back tonight.
Yeah.
Stafford is.
Yeah, girl.
Sean McVay, we'll see. But Kevin O'Connell is something else, and we know they're going to pressure. We know they're going to pressure Stafford, and
yes, that
might leave some things open. We'll see. All right. Again, we appreciate everybody who has helped. Keep us afloat, everybody who was a part of the show today. Shout out to Neville Hewitt, who joined us earlier. If you missed that, he was on with us at about 2:15. You can go back on the Odyssey app and check that out. So, Neck Roll Neville. That's what we call Neck Roll Neville. He'd been wearing that thing since high school, he said, after high school. So, shout out to Neville Hewitt. Shout out again to everybody, promo staff, engineers, and everybody who has helped us stay on the air today. Clint, great job as always. Tyler, great job as always. Remember, coming up behind us yet again, Texans All Access, Hall of Famer John McClain. They'll be previewing this huge game against the Colts. And then following them, programming note, no Area 45 tonight. Thursday night football coverage begins at 7 o'clock.
Another day off for PC, huh?
Yeah, that really makes that day even more. And he knew he had Monday and Thursday off to do that thing. Wow, good for you, Pat. Good for you, Pat. All right, I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. And the world's all
right with me. Hey, I think you ought to just go back the old school, man. Yeah. Just double that thing up, man. Let's go, man. Hell, let's get bigger, man.
Yeah, I want it bigger.
Huh?
Hey,
come on, man.
Hey, go too big, man. You ain't going to put me out there. You're going to say I look too stiff or something.
Speaking of Indiana, we got Colts Texans.
Booger butt.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.